Coming up on this episode of the Starlight Pit Podcast, Chris and I are joined by Mark Herleman as we discuss all things Celebration Anaheim, from the opening Force Awakens panel to the closing ceremonies on Sunday and everything in between. We give you two experiences. I talk about what it was like on the convention floor, and Chris gives us his experience watching from home. All that's coming at you as we get it started right now.
Just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, a podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. The Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, and we thank those guys for their support of the podcast. This is episode 86. For May 2nd, 2015. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt, and let me bring in your co-host and creator from Memphis, Tennessee, Mr. Chris Hoffice Planet Smith. What's up, my friend? How you doing?
What's going on? I'm doing good. It's been, it's a May the 4th weekend, man.
I know, that's right. May the 4th, man. We're coming up on a couple of days away. Of course, today is May 2nd. We got a lot of, it's a sports day, you know, for a lot of us.
I mean, watching the draft.
We got the draft, we got the derby, we got the Manny Pacquiao Mayweather fight, which is huge. So a lot of sports stuff going on. But hey, today we're gonna talk Star Wars, man. We're gonna talk some Celebration. Of course, we're coming down. It's been a couple weeks since Celebration Anaheim has finished, and today we're gonna break down our experiences. We got kind of a different thing going on here, Chris. We got me and a guest that I'll bring in a second here that we're actually at the convention, and then we got kind of your perspective of living through this at home and watching a lot of stuff through the live stream. So that's going to be cool to get the different perspective. But before we jump into everything Celebration Anaheim, let me bring in our guest from Star Wars Beyond the Films and the Star Wars Report. It's Mark Herleman. What's up, Mark?
Hey, I heard we just missed the 501st. Oh, too soon?
Oh, yes. Hey, you got Whistler there too, right?
Always him and a few more droids now that I went down to the droid factory down there in Anaheim.
I've got
a sick obsession with tinkering. You'd think I'd have like a live model that I would race, you know, with the droid builders at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, talking about all the droids and stuff, man. Let me do this. We'll get into that. A lot of stuff coming up here with the Celebration Anaheim. But Mark, for you, you guys are still going strong both at the Star Wars Report and Beyond the Films, correct?
Yes, I should be having the next our celebration episode of Beyond the Films should be coming up on by Monday.
Okay,
I'm still
cool.
Still lacing some trailers in there just because you know
you
can only hear them so many times and then you wet yourself.
Yeah, we will definitely talk about that trailer. But let's start off, Chris. I guess we'll start off talking about Celebration. We might as well just go day by day, correct?
I think we just started off from the beginning, so yeah.
Okay. So Thursday, I mean, we won't talk about every single thing. We're going to hit some of the highlights, and we'll just start off with the Thursday. And for me and Mark, I know you were there. You know what's crazy real quick is like I never even ran into you.
I know. There were so many people I missed.
Yeah.
You were staying with Riley and all those guys, were you not?
Yes, I was. Yeah,
I thought so. Yeah. Yeah, I did run into Chris and Carl and Jason and them, Chris D, Joe Hogan. But there were so many other people that I was hoping to bump into that, like me and Abel, we were like texting and stuff trying to meet up, and it wasn't able to happen. Like he was in a panel, I was in a panel, and by the time that panel got out, it was like seas in the fog, man. Just shipping right by.
Hey,
yeah, that's what it was. It was like. It was so busy, and you're just so like, okay, what do I got to do next? Where am I going? And sometimes you just sort of so busy doing stuff, and then it was so packed that you know, I can imagine not finding anybody because, I mean, I'm not kidding you, Chris. Obviously, the numbers were higher than – I don't know the official numbers yet. We'll just do a breakdown real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know what the numbers were, but for me, I mean, this was, you know, shoulder to shoulder everywhere you went. It was crazy. Even Sunday was packed.
Yeah, even during panels. I know that while the season two premiere was going on, they already had the queue line for the Talking to Myself with Jat panel was already full, and I was still, like, shuffling through people. I'm like, all these people are not even in here right now, and you still can't walk through this hall. What the heck?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, definitely.
Hey, Matt. I know this was your first time, and Mark, wasn't this your first time at Celebration?
It was. And I brought my family, so I learned I won't be doing that again, and my wife's okay with that, and I'm okay with telling her that I'm not going to do that.
Because it makes it very difficult. Well, Matt, you went to Fan Days with us. We all went to Fan Days, and I've been to Celebration before. What was the comparison to that? What?
it was definitely like Fan Days times like 100 or 1,000 or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it was – this place was a big place. I mean, I've been to the Anaheim Convention Center. It's huge. But it didn't seem that way when you were walking around. Thursday and Friday were slightly – obviously slightly better because people – the main – you know, the normal public weren't there on the weekend. So I was able to get into some things that people did not get to on the weekend, most notably the Force Awakens exhibit.
Me too.
Turned away. Did you get to that, Mark?
Yeah, I went there on Thursday with the Ion Cannon guys. We all were hooked up together, and two of them had already gone through it, and they were like, oh, the line wasn't that long when we went. And so we had came out of the Untold Clone Wars and went right into that line, and I think we only sat in it for 45 minutes. But – For most people, they didn't even know there was a second and third floor for that first day. I mean, I only found out about it until about 3:30. Then I was like, wait, there's another floor? Like, oh my goodness. But once, you know, you figured that out and you got up there and you were doing your stuff, it was like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. Most people, they didn't even realize it. By the third day, so many people knew about that, you know, museum at that point. But when you got to go in, they only let in about, 25 to 50 people at a time. And they didn't kick you out. You could take as many photos as you want. So, like, the people in front of me, they were just must have been taking, like, one shot and going, feeling bad. I went nuts. I felt bad for the line. I'm like, I know I'm slowing this thing down, but, oh, my God, look at Ray's little staff. It's got, like, a double lightsaber on the end. Like, there were so many intricate details out of the costuming and the weapons and stuff that, I spent a good 35, 50 minutes in there myself just snapping shots, man.
Yeah, I did too, and I was glad I got in there before the weekend because I had no idea it was going to be like that. But like I said, Chris, I was blown away. I mean, this felt like I've been to San Diego before. I've been to, you know, some of the conventions in San Francisco before it moved, WonderCon before it moved to LA. I went there, and, you know, those were busy, but this was busier than like a WonderCon. I mean, it was, I'm not kidding you, on the show floor. It was shoulder to shoulder. I mean, good luck trying to get in to buy anything. You really had to muscle your way in, and just it was crazy. Yep. And this is what I'm saying. I mentioned this, Chris, like a long time ago when I found out about Anaheim. I go, this is going to be the one that everybody's going to be at because obviously it's a new movie. It's a movie that we don't know what's going on, and I think there's been a pattern like Celebrations where there's new movies coming. The attendance has been pretty high. But I knew this was going to be crazy, but I guess I still wasn't kind of ready for it. I was like, man.
They haven't announced their exact number that they announced was 60,000 plus. That's the only thing that I've seen. And they also, while the show was still going on Sunday, they announced that the Saturday single day tickets sold out and the adult 4-day tickets sold out, which they never sold out anything. In any of the conventions, it's never sold out. So to get to that point to where the fire people have to say, okay, that's a cutoff. You can't sell anymore. I think part of that too was the fact that you compare it to Orlando and Amazon and Anaheim. I think that you have a much bigger local base to draw from than you do in Orlando because there's so much stuff that's right there. I mean, LA is like 30 minutes away. So you got all these areas that are really, really close. So I think that was part of it, along with, you know, everybody was geared up, like you said, for the movie, and we knew that we were going to get, you know, they didn't really say it, but we knew we were getting a trailer, so
yeah,
I think
everybody
was excited, so, you know, and we got that 1 hour in, so, which was
the lines were insane. I mean, I had a friend that joined up with me on Sunday, and she was irately ticked off. She had a friend that bought her the ticket. And then she got there, and she's like, they didn't even card me. They're nothing. Like, I my ticket was hidden in my shirt. I could have walked in here off the street. I'm like, really? Like, they were kind of really hardcore the first couple days. Like, when they had that simulcast going, I was still out in the line, and I showed up. I want to say we got there at, like, 8:30. I mean, you know, they told everyone the night before that people were lining up, like, at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. But I was like, no. You know, I stayed up the night before that, so I was like, I'm not going to do this. But yeah, I ended up being one of those ones sitting out there, out in the hot sun, waiting for. I was at the end of the food cart still when the trailer started playing on people's phones, and I was desperately trying to get a signal because, of course, I'm out of town, so my phone with Wi-Fi on or off, it's just spin. I'm like, come on!
So you missed the whole opening panel.
I did, man. I was lucky enough that Nathan Butler was able to post the link that he found from YouTube onto his page, and I was streaming that. I was just like, you know, that was the moment I started to get depressed because my wife's like, well, what's the matter? I'm like, well, we came all this way, and it's supposed to be like simulcast, and like here we're like, I got to look on someone else's phone just to watch it because someone else on the East Coast put the link on the internet. Like, we're like the last people on earth to get to see this trailer.
Well, let's talk about that. Thursday obviously kicked off with the panel in the morning. I mean, this is what everybody came to see right here. This was at least not like the major Star Wars fans. This was it right here. Thursday kicked off. We got the panel. I got there around 7:30 to queue in for the line. And of course, everybody knows the stories about the line started, I think, at, you know, 12 on Wednesday. And JJ and Kathleen bought pizza for everybody, so they all knew that. And the line was pretty long. A few thousand people already in line overnight. So going into it, me and the group that I was staying with were like, you know what? As long as we get into a digital stage to watch it on a big screen, you know, we're cool with that. So we ended up getting there at around 7:30 to get in the line for this 10 o'clock panel. And we almost made it into the main stage. We were just, you know, just maybe 20, 30 minutes from making it into the main stage. But hey, it's no big deal. We got into one of the digital stages, which was cool. And I guess we'll get into just the panel before we start talking about the trailer, guys. The panel, you know, it was good. Of course, it's still a ways off from the movie, so they're not gonna give us a ton of stuff. You know what I mean? So,
right.
It brought out. Here's the thing: they set the whole tone of this celebration for me and for a lot of the guys that I was with when BB-8 rolled out. Practical BB-8 rolled out. People were going nuts, guys. I'm not kidding you. Like, even in the digital stage, it was going nuts. Everybody was going, what the? You know, because I don't think anybody had a clue, like, this was going to happen. Like, we knew we were going to get practical effects and that BB-8 possibly was, but to have him roll out on stage like that with JJ and Kathleen, it just set a whole tone for the celebration. And, man, I'm kind of sad you missed that, Mark, but, I mean, I'm sure you saw it online already and everything. The way they're doing this, and everybody's just blown away. Chris, you were watching it live, right?
They started the streaming right at 10 o'clock, and it wasn't 10, 15. I think it was about 15 minutes past the hour before they actually started the panel, and then they kicked it in there. So to make Mark feel bad, I'm sitting there watching it live on my, you know, on my computer, and he's standing out in line and can't watch it, but. It was fantastic. Getting to have, first of all, have JJ and Kathleen come out and start talking and get to talk to them and hear what they have to say. And then they bring out, John Boyega,
Daisy Ridley,
yeah, and
Oscar Isaac.
The other guy.
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac. And to get them, talking a little bit about it. And they didn't really give us that much, but they gave us tidbits. And once we get to the trailer, I have some, I've been thinking about it, obviously, and I know y'all been thinking about it, so I want to throw it out to y'all when we get to it and get y'all's opinion on it.
Yeah, but, the panel, Chris, as far as those three, I think one thing to take away from that was that, you know, they were generally, I mean, it wasn't like, to me, it didn't seem like they were just like putting on a happy face, like, oh, yeah. I mean, they were genuinely, like, you can just see they were smiling the whole time. I mean, they came out, they were, Daisy Ridley's, like, taking her camera and turning around and taking selfies with the crowd. And and just the chemistry that they had together. I'm sure you can see it through the webcam video. Chemistry that those three had, and just the fun, they were hugging each other, and it just seemed like that family dynamic, almost like you get from from Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill, kind of like that same family type feel. And that was kind of cool to see. And then, of course, they bring out Peter Mayhew and Mark Hamill. Anthony Daniels came out, and Carrie Fisher to kind of round out the panel, which was really neat to see. They all lined up with all the new stormtroopers. I guess they're going to call them the First Order Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And it's just a cool little shot right there. So that's how the panel kind of kicked out. That's how that day started off. And like you said, Chris, not a lot of earth-shattering info. I mean, there's a couple things that they kind of quote-unquote let slip, but of course they're going to let that slip. They just made it seem like, oh, you can't say that. But it was just kind of one of those things they do at panels, like, you know, hey, go ahead and say that, and we'll pretend like it was like, oh, you let it slip. You know what I mean?
Have
one
some
of those
fun.
Type of things. Yeah. Oscar Isaac saying he's the best pilot in the galaxy, and then it was John Boyega's character. You know, he talked about him. He's just obviously a stormtrooper, and we'll talk about what his role is in a minute. But this is a cool panel. You know, seeing JJ up there, he was generally just so happy, and once you see this trailer and you hear him talk in that panel, like, man, obviously a perfect choice, and he's doing right by Star Wars. So you guys want to talk about the trailer, since that was like the big thing for Thursday?
Yeah, let's jump on the trailer.
I want to say real quick, you know, you hit on something with the family vibe, because when they had the New Allies and New Villains panel and they showed the Rebels Season 2 trailer, the same thing when the actors came out, they were taking the selfies and stuff and they were talking about that family vibe. And one thing I noticed between that trailer and the actual Force Awakens trailer was both of them had this moment toward the end where it went black screen. And three words just lit the entire convention for that day. And the biggest one set the tone for the entire 4 days, which was The Force Awakens, when it goes quiet and you have Han go, "Chewie, we're home." Mm-hmm. I mean, that was like everybody that heard that moment, even out in the line and stuff, they were like, "Okay, this is it. We're here. You know, we're finally home. We're in our place, you know." And the same thing with the Rebels and Allies one. It was, "My name's Rex." And just everybody went nuts for that, too. It was like they really did a real good job of lining up those trailers. And in fact, when I went to go see Bad Batch, we were sitting right behind the guy that made the trailers. It was really cool. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, William Devereaux will text me. He's like, "That's the guy that made the trailers." I'm like, "Really? Like, that's small world."
Did you thank him? Did you hug him?
I love everything you've done.
Well, let's start it off, man. Let's talk about the thing that ended the panel, and of course, JJ and them said, "Oh, by the way, we have one more thing to give you guys," and the place went totally berserk and bonkers, and this started playing. So check this out real quick.
Strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it. You have that power too.
Get chills just listening to that thing, guys. Just a quick overview.
On that moment, they offed 1,000 Star Trek fans.
I tell you what, man, the place was going crazy. And I'm not, in the digital stage, you know, as well as the main stage, every single clip, people were going, oh my gosh. And there was different gasps and stuff like that for every single frame of this thing. I mean, talk about a trailer that blows everybody away. And of course, the way that thing finishes, you touched on it earlier, Mark. I mean, it made me stand up, and I stood up and I looked around at everybody. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you not entertained? I mean, people were kind of almost stunned, you know, like they were like almost stunned, but they were going crazy. And the group I was with, there's just something to be said about watching these trailers with so many Star Wars fans. It just blew me away. Chris, watching it from your perspective, you still got, obviously we were texting back and forth a little bit. You got, some chills from that too, right?
Oh my gosh. I tell you, well, they did a good thing. When they went to show it for you guys, they cut it to a high def actually on the screen. We didn't look at it like we were looking over your shoulder, which we got to see later because they had other people, two or three people that actually filmed it while they were in there. They put it up, and we got to hear the reaction of the crowd, which is awesome. But for me, I shut off my light, got my headphones on, you know, and I'm sitting here watching it. And I tell you, when Luke started to talk, and then you pans over his shoulder, and you see Vader's burnt helmet, mm-hmm. I couldn't help it. I started to cry. But the images, once they kicked in after this, you know, this Christmas, after that, the images that they kicked in, I was just like stunned, just completely stunned. And I think everybody in the theater, when it went black at the end, they thought that was the end of the trailer. And then you hear Han's voice, and then it just berserk. I mean, it was amazing. I was just like, oh my gosh, just to see Han and Chewie. Yeah. I mean, completely stunned in the images. And of course, I watched it over and over and over, just watching it. And, here in a few minutes, I want to give you, my take on the story. This is kind of what I'm putting together, and I want to get y'all's opinions on it. But, I'll kick it back over to y'all.
Yeah, Mark, you had a little different perspective, obviously. I didn't know you didn't make it into the panel, so, tell us about your experience.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't have that juvenizing effect like it did for everyone else. I mean, I was excited to watch the trailer and all that, but you know, when I think about my celebration moments when I watched the Allies and Heroes premiere for season 2, that was my charge moment because I was in the room. So there's definitely something I noticed in that regard. Like, maybe it's the fan pheromone, I don't know what it is, but being around that many people charged while it's happening live definitely raises the epicness of it. So while I was standing out there, the trailer was epic, but the experience wasn't so much. But I definitely came away, some things that jumped right out at me was like when Luke talks about his sister having the Force, and you see Luke's lightsaber that he got from Anakin being handed from one lady to another. You're like, ooh. And then he says, and you have it, which I always find that the most telling, because he's talking about his family. You know, the Force is strong in my family. My father had it. I have it. My sister have it. And you have it. And it's like, well, she's not related to you. Why are you even talking in that regard? So I immediately was like, ooh, is this going to be like Luke's love child or Han and Leia, like, you know, got together and Leia got left on a planet for a year. And, oh, hey, look, there's this little girl. Like, there were so many things that jumped out. But seeing that Star Destroyer, that panel where the little speeder's running across the cliff of the desert and you see the X-Wing crash and the big old Star Destroyer in the background, I was just like, are you kidding me? That is so cool. And then we see the Falcon later flying into the engine and stuff. Like, when we were in the Force Awakens line for the museum, we just kept watching that and breaking it down. You know, we were looking at, like, was that a Star Destroyer or a Super Star Destroyer? Because it looked like there was a second set of engines up higher. And, you know, I mean, we were really just psychoanalyzing the heck out of every little detail. You know, was that Mark Hamill from the original movies, or was that new recording, which, you know, Mark Hamill himself confirmed later that he actually did dub over some stuff there to give it a reverb effect. So it was like, sweet. Right. But yeah, so many elements of that just wetted my whistle, man. Made it hard though for Rogue One to really, you know, I mean, I'm like, yeah, there's Rogue One. Like, they almost should have played that backwards, but I think that it wouldn't have had the same effect for the overall celebration feel as Chewie, we're home. I mean, that was like, you got back to your hotel room that night and TV things were playing Chewie, we're home. That's the theme of the day. It's like, yes, it was.
Yeah. I had, you know, it's funny too. I kind of agree with you. Like, we were talking about this on the way over there. Like, man, they're coming out on Thursday, the first day, the first hour of this convention, and giving us the biggest thing. Like, how are they going to top that? But I think it just kind of set, like I said earlier, kind of set a tone for the whole weekend. Like, we got this big, this is what everybody wanted to see, and we got it on Thursday morning. And it just set the whole tone for the whole weekend for us. And like you said, from the beginning shot, it had this trailer bookended so well with the Chewie stuff and Han at the end and the beginning, where this had this nice long pan. And this is what I said about watching this trailer. Like, as this thing is unfolding, everybody's eyes are glued to this. And as soon as somebody starts recognizing the Star Destroyer, because you're watching the speeder go by, and everybody goes, whoa! Everybody's like, what? Oh, Jesus, there's a Star Destroyer there, you know? And every single frame of this, everybody's like, what? And the second image is the Vader helmet. And then you get Luke and R2. So, you know what's funny, too, is like, we found out that JJ and them, they're not even done with this movie yet. I mean, they're still working on editing the third act of this film. So,
nice.
As a lot of Star Wars trailers do, like, especially the Clone Wars and some of the animated stuff, a lot of their trailers, especially these teasers, I think is coming from the first third of this movie. You know what I mean? And you can almost piece together kind of what's going on from this trailer. You can go from like, oh, it shows Finn. And, you know, the part where it's Star Destroyer and there's some TIE fighters kind of blowing each other up. And then you see him on Jakku. He's taking his helmet off and he's running. And then he meets up with Rey, and they get in the Falcon and they go away. So it's almost like you can kind of piece together maybe what's going on a little bit. And I don't know, you guys think that this second teaser is more of the front end of this movie? What do you think, Chris?
Well, that's actually what I wanted to talk about is watching the trailer, and then what we got from the cast members pieced together what I think is how it's working. And like you said, the first third, we just, you know, we're not getting anything really past that. To me, you've got, obviously, Finn is a stormtrooper, and you see the shots of a TIE fighter just, you know, wrecking the bay, you know, firing on his own troops. Is that Finn? Probably. You know, who knows? Now, that could be at the very beginning of the movie, or that could be something that's later on where he goes back in disguise in his suit to get in. Or it could, like I said, it could be the very beginning of the movie and he ends up down on Jakku, and then he runs into Rey, and then they end up together. And they showed a shot while they were talking in the panel that, you know, they were showing various pictures from the film as they were talking, some behind-the-scenes stuff. But they show for about a split second a shot you see of Finn and Rey running to the Millennium Falcon. You see the Millennium Falcon. I was like, oh my God, that's a key. And then, of course, they reinforce that saying that they, you know, they run into each other and then they go off. Their characters are intertwined. And then Isaac also said that he runs into Finn and then they're forever entwined. So at some point, start out with them two, maybe end up with the Falcon, Chewie, and Han, and then they end up with Poe. They end up meeting up with him, and then who knows? And right. I wanted to ask y'all's opinion, too. Well, now, with Mark, what do you think about with being the first third? But the shot of Han and Chewie kind of looked like people were saying it looked like they were back taking over the Millennium Falcon like somebody else had it. Well, I went to looking at different pictures of the original Millennium Falcon and comparing it to this picture, because that's what we geeks do. And the point that they're sitting, if you look behind their head in that trailer, they're either standing at the walkway to go down the ramp, or they're standing back to the right, because that particular piece of the hall is the same, and it kind of goes around. And it stops at the ramp, and it has one section between the ramp and then the hallway to go to the cockpit. So they're either at the cockpit or they're at the ramp. One or the other.
I never thought about the ramp. I mean, I thought it was the cockpit, but if that's at the ramp, that opens up a whole new world of possibilities. I mean, they could be getting off at Kashyyyk or Coruscant or Corellia.
I think that they're stopping somebody that's coming on. I think they're just drawing their weapons because they're being cautious about who's coming on board.
That could be too. Back to the old smuggler ways.
Yeah.
You know, to the whole third film, I go back to The Phantom Menace. When they gave that first teaser for that, you see the Gungan army coming out of the mists. I remember thinking that scene was going to be something huge, something big, something major in the film. And that scene, actually, I believe it's close to the end of the film at that point. That's right before the main battle in Naboo. And the way it played out was very much anticlimactic compared to what I really thought was going to happen when I saw that teaser. And ever since then, I've been leery with how I watch teasers in general, because I'm like, man, I really thought that was going to be a cool battle, almost to the point of like what we did get in Revenge of the Sith in the opening 15 minutes. I was expecting something like that, you know, like the March on Hoth kind of thing. But, you know, it did its own thing in The Phantom Menace, but it did leave me sitting there going, you know, I'm not going to put too much into the trailers. So I watch these things and I'm trying so hard not to go tilt with my excitement and joy, because I know that they're just, you know, they're showing those best clips kind of things. And then you worry about that aspect of, well, I don't want all the best clips being shown. So you kind of, like, you're kind of like looking at things, but you're like not paying attention. Like, I didn't realize the X-Wing was there on that first scene with the Star Destroyer until about the fifth time I was watching it. I'm like, that's an X-Wing. And then I'm thinking, like, how come the Jawas left it? Oh, it's not even Tatooine. Oh my goodness. Like, so. Yeah, I'm still trying to be in that, like, I don't want to be too spoiled territory as I'm walking into it. Because, like, that whole comment about we're home kind of leans into those rumors about Han and Chewie losing the Falcon and that they, you know, Ridley and them steal it, which now is seeming like maybe that wasn't a rumor after all. And I'm like, I'm knowing too much already.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Yeah.
But it's all speculation. That's what's fun.
Yeah. My biggest fear is going into the theater on December 18th and walking out going, oh, I wish it was better. You know, I mean, I'm not expecting that, but I'm fearing that, because, like, you know, you guys know, I mean, the level of fandom we're at, the last thing you want is to go to the next movie and be like, oh, that was a dud. You're like, oh, great. I get to be a hater for the next 5 years, 20 years, however long.
Yeah. You know what? That's a hard thing, especially, like you said, for us, because watching this trailer, you get so hyped up for this. And like, how do you control your level of excitement and your expectations for this film? I mean, it's just so unfair to this sometimes. I think I'm being so unfair to this franchise because I have so high expectations.
But
you know what? But looking at this, I mean, just like I said, that first shot, this is like, you can tell this is a totally different way of filmmaking for Star Wars. It's just like just that opening shot. And then look at all the stuff we're getting from, like, you get Luke, and, well, we're assuming that's Luke, and with R2, and they're on this, you know, look like around a campfire. You get Vader back in a trailer, Vader's helmet, and I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with Kylo Ren, because I love a good bad guy. Of course, Vader's my favorite character. So I'm really excited to see what the heck is up with this Kylo Ren. I have this theory that we talked about during the whole celebration, all 4 days, me and the group I was with, that maybe Kylo Ren is some kind of not a worshiper, but you know what I mean? That kind of a thing with the Sith, and maybe Vader, because he's got like this Vader helmet. Like, maybe it's his, something he went and found, and the lightsaber. Like, he's almost like a wannabe Sith kind of thing. And, you know, like his lightsaber, we saw it there at the Forkins Awakens panel. It's just, it doesn't look like it's constructed the best way, you know. And we see the blade, how it's just kind of nasty and dirty, and maybe
it's got wires hanging on.
It's got wires
out.
Yeah. So, you know, it kind of fuels some speculation as to what his character is, and, you know, is he truly a Sith, or is he just trying to be, you know, is he trying to bring back the Sith way? And, you know, this trailer did everything it was supposed to do. It is a teaser. I know a lot of people are, I hear some people say it's a trailer. I know it's a teaser too, trailer one. This is a teaser because they give you no indication of what the story is about. It's just a little bit of voiceover and a lot of images. This is a teaser. And it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It gave us so much great visual stuff, and it just gave us more questions. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Like, gives you, it makes your mind go. I do have one question. It popped up online. People were, I mean, as soon as it aired, people were started talking about it online that, oh my God, it said, my father has it, not had it. And I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, everything that was said from that Luke said was directly taken from Return of the Jedi. And then he later confirmed that when Mark Hamill in the panel, he said, I did the lines again. And, and then he said that he used that as the reverb behind the original. So
Well, and the bottom line, too, is the Force is eternal. There's no death. There's only the Force. So Anakin never really died. He just moved on. So, of course, the Force is strong with him. He's part of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's exciting. You know, you see Vader's helmet. Does Luke have the helmet? Does Kylo Ren have the helmet? You know,
that's
what does
what
all
I'm
of this
thinking.
Mean?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what.
There were so many cool little quick shots, though. Like, you got Captain Phasma with her little armor. You got the cool-looking TIE fighter that has, like, the red 181st from the Legend-style paint job down the front of his helmet.
Right.
You know, the new color on the TIE fighter wings. The Star Destroyer that you see the shuttle and stuff coming at. It looks like it's got one of those the split noses. Like, it almost looked like the Old Republic back when Revan was in control kind of Star Destroyers. Mm-hmm. Just so many little things like that that you're just like, oh, this is going to be glorious. I mean, you know, that panning, I think, though, that panning screen definitely gave you the biggest sense of the immensity to what's going on. I mean, you're on this little podunk planet, and yet, bam, there's that Star Destroyer. I mean, that's the one aspect that Rogue One had going for it. It was like, you know, it does its little going through the forest, and then all of a sudden you're looking up at the moon, and you're like, oh, wait, there's another moon. Oh, that's no moon. That's a space station. Oh, it's the Death Star. Like, you know, it's the same thing. Like, just in showing these little panning frames, they give such an immensity of the scope of what's going on. And then when you stop and think about the differences between what JJ is doing right now and what George Lucas did with the prequels, and you're like, that is some serious model building.
Yeah, right. Well, I think another shot that kind of got people talking was there was a shot in the trailer where it shows the stormtroopers that do like an about face. And there's a shot of, like, you see part of the banner of the New Order is what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the Imperial Cog, but with just more cogs.
Yeah.
And in the background, really tiny little black figure. People kind of – it's kind of like the X-Wing thing. It's so fast that when you stop it, you go, wait a minute. Who's that dark figure way in the back over there kind of addressing the crowd on this dais? Like, whoa, you know. But just that one shot, it was like everybody made that their screensaver for that weekend, you know. It was just the Stormtroopers – And it looked like they were on some type of a Hoth type snow planet. But let me, you just brought this up, Mark. I'm still kind of confused. Maybe not confused. It's just, I don't know. You know, like everybody thought it was Tatooine. We found out at the panel it was Jakku. At this point, I'm not sure why they need to do that. I mean, it looks exactly the same as Tatooine. Why do we have to go away from Tatooine, or, you know, why do we need a new planet? Hopefully we'll get the story onto why it has to be a new planet. I just don't, right now, it just doesn't make much sense, but hey, whatever. What do you think about that, Mark, this new planet Jakku?
I think that they're doing it more for a fan like my point of view. I mean, I would not want to see them constantly going back to the same, like, three or four planets, and Tatooine seems to be, for some reason, a big pull for the Outer Rim, and the Outer Rim is supposed to be kind of like far out there planets that don't see a lot of action. I mean, I get by having Jabba the Hutt there, you've got like kind of like the capital of all the gangsters. But that's where I'm coming from is more like, oh, let's not go back there again. You know, there's more planets in the galaxy kind of thing. But I'm very curious as to the video game Battlefront, because I'm under the impression that a lot of what happened at this planet happens in that game, and that's set after A New Hope, but before Empire Strikes Back, which I thought was odd because I thought all this stuff would be kind of more after, you know, Return of the Jedi. I was talking to Nathan about this, about how it almost seems like, you know, right at A New Hope, the Death Star gets blown up, then you got the Battle of Jakku, the Rebels are on the move, you know, they're pushing. The whole book for Battlefront is called Twilight Company. And it's set much later, I believe, or around the end of there, where they're starting. They were the advanced, you know, they were the ones that were going to the planet first, kicking the planet's butt, moving on, and that kind of stuff. And then they get to a point where the Empire is on the rise, which I'm figuring is probably around the time of The Empire Strikes Back. And then they start becoming the rear guard, you know, and they're falling and they're losing each planet that they've won one at a time and kind of stuff. And I'm wondering if the Battle of Jakku and A New Hope was like the beginning of the rise of the Empire. And then by the time we get to Empire Strikes Back, we've had a shift and the Empire's coming back again. And, you know, kind of like a ebb and flow of the powers and the resistance going on in that regard. So I'm very curious as to how that game and this battle plays into things as well as the book Aftermath, because they're all definitely setting the stage for what we're going to get in this next book. I mean, Kathleen Kennedy, at the, or no, it wasn't Kathleen, it was Jennifer Heedle at the Star Wars at Del Rey was talking about how, you know, the whole Journey of the Force Awakens, they're going to be releasing all 20 of those books on September 4th. But of all those books being released, only about 6 or 7 are going to have what she called critical information for The Force Awakens. But even then, you're not going to know it's critical until you're watching the movie. And so you're like, oh, as you're watching, that's how that ties in, that kind of stuff. And another approach they're doing differently with the movie is that they're not releasing the novelization beforehand. They're putting the ebook out on the 18th, and then the book itself is going to come out in, and then the book's going to come out in January. So unless you're getting the ebook, you're not going to have any idea what's going on. And Alan Dean Foster is actually writing the book. They mentioned that too. Yes. But yeah. There's so many aspects of as we're leading up to this film that, you know, I was telling Riley, I'm like, I'm really going to be looking forward to like that the next month after the film comes out while I'm digesting everything that's gone on this year and how it all fits to this movie and, you know, the whole layup of canon and stuff. I mean, as an EU fan, everything I know still exists, but it only applies to Legends, you know? And so it's like little things like, well, is Tarkin's name still Wilhuff? You know, little stupid things like that. Someone had asked also in that same Del Rey panel about the planets, you know, are we going to have a whole new galaxy? And John Jackson Miller, you know, he's like, well, we're not going to reinvent the wheel. He's like, you know, the planets are still the same and everything about it's pretty much still the same. And it's just kind of reassuring to get that. Cause like I say, as an EU fan, I'm like, I don't know what to trust is going to become canon until it actually happens. So I'm like, for me, the speculation part's hard because I can speculate in so many ways, you know, when you apply things from Legends and stuff. I mean, it's like you go to the Untold Clone Wars panel and they show us a picture of the Vong and that the Vong were going to be in the Clone Wars.
Yes.
I was like, are you kidding me? Like, whoa. Like,
that's right.
You know, Filoni talks about how no idea is going to be left behind. And so as an EU fan, I get excited about that. I'm like, you know, sooner or later, I want a Jaina in canon. I don't care if she's not a Solo anymore. I name my kid Jaina. She'll always be named after Han and Leia's kids in Legends, but that name's not canon. It drives me nuts.
Yeah. Chris, like I said, Jakku. I don't know. It looks exactly like Tatooine. So, but like Mark said, we're going to find out exactly what's going on from this Battlefront game, which is kind of interesting. And that shows how this whole story group is coming together, how they're doing this. But what do you think about Jakku? Surprised you? Yeah.
For Battlefront, I'll have to wait on everybody else's input. But, there's some kind of a remnant of a battle. That's what all this is as far as the, you know, the X-Wing and the Star Destroyer, that's what's left of what a battle and when this battle happened, we don't know yet, like Mark said. But I tell you one thing that I like the fact that we're getting a new planet, but like you said, it's a desert planet, so it's kind of like, okay, we get another desert planet. You know, maybe it could be more like Earth, where we have deserts and then we have others. Maybe it could be something like that, but from what little bit we're seeing in the trailer, it doesn't look like we're going to spend a whole lot of time there. So what we is just going to be what's right there. I tell you one thing that did confuse me in the trailer at first was when they show a picture. And I mean, everybody's calling him Captain Phasma, but that's not an official name as far as I know yet of the silver trooper, the chrome trooper. But when you see that one shot of him walking and you're like, wait a minute, what is all this rocky stuff what is that? And then you got all the metal to the right, and then somebody made a comment online, and it triggered, oh, that's an Imperial base in the side of a mountain, is what it looks like. So, and then, of course, when you see the stormtroopers do their about face, you have all these snowy mountains in the background. The first trailer, we see Kylo Ren walking through a snow-covered forest.
True.
So
right,
you're like, is this just a mountain terrain area? You know, is this where their Imperial base is? Is it in those mountains? So that's just something else that's kind of cool. And then when you see Luke there with R2-D2, and of course, as soon as they start bubbling up with the fire there, people were calling it Mustafar. And I'm like, come on. I'm just like, all right.
Probably not.
Yeah. To me, it kind of looks like a bonfire type of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Know. So we'll see. And it's fun to speculate. You know, you're talking about what you had mentioned earlier about being so jacked up, so excited. And I remember from the other movies, especially going to see Episode 1, because it was something completely different. And the week of the release, I get this nervousness, you know, because like, oh, my God, what if it isn't good? You know, what if I don't like it and whatnot? But by the time the movie comes, I just have to kind of calm myself enough to where, okay, just go in, sit down, and just see what happens. And, yeah. you know, yeah. and like me and you said, when we came out of seeing episode one the first time, it was kind of this, we didn't know what to make of it.
Still processing.
Yeah, exactly. Still processing it. So, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, especially after this weekend was over with, I was so excited. I'm just like, I cannot wait till December. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So it's good we're getting other stuff now.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, too, is like, obviously, this is all brand new stuff, so we don't know exactly where the story is going. And we do find out from that Force Awakens panel, like, it's going to be, I keep saying Empire, and I probably should be saying, you know, the New Order and the Resistance. It sounds like what yeah. we're going to be.
First Order be and Resistance.
Yeah. First Order, I'm sorry. First Order and New Order. First Order and the Resistance. So going a slightly different way as far as, like, the Empire and the Rebellion. So, and I'll just say the last thing about this trailer. The very end, obviously, is what kind of totally just blew everybody up, and people were out of their seats just cheering. It's obviously we get Han and Chewie, and like you guys said, it looks like they're sort of drawing their guns, like, hey, we're back, this is our ship, we're home. That's what he's talking about. And just the, you know, what also made it nice was when you see Harrison Ford, there's just something about the way he looks. Like, he kind of looked, when he did Indiana Jones, and this was a while ago, this was years ago when he did the last Indiana Jones movie, Crystal Skull, I don't know, it just, I don't know if it looked right. He did look, obviously he's older, but from whatever they did in this movie, however they made him up, I mean, he just looked great. And he just had this smile and this swagger back to him. Like, that just, I think, was what blew everybody away. And yeah. I just wonder, his words were home. Obviously, to me, there's kind of a double meaning there. I'll ask what you guys think about this. Obviously, it's one of the meanings is, you know, we're back to the Falcon is what I think. But I think there was an underlying meaning there from JJ and just Star Wars in general. Like, we're home. Like, hey, fans, you know, we're home, fans. Like, don't worry, we got this saga. It's going to be yeah. great. Don't worry. It's kind of like a double meaning. I don't think they meant that. But for me, I'm just taking it that way. You know what I mean? Like,
I think I they meant that. It.
I felt that
whoever
when I
made
that
the trailer,
trailer you know?
Yeah, he definitely chose that perfectly, because that was yeah. definitely the sense that everybody at Celebration had. I mean, yeah. I don't know about you, Chris. I mean, you weren't there. Was that definitely the feeling that you guys on the other side of the internet got? Because I know Nathan at one point, he got what I call the Celebration blues, where you see that tweet of, well, I don't even know if I should be podcasting anymore. It's one of those days. And it's just like, I'm like, I get it, bro. Like, dude, you need to be here, because, you know, I went to that podcaster meetup on the Thursday, and it was just like, man, talk about, you know, Lazarus effects, you know, having people tell you, you know, they love your yeah. show and stuff. You're like, oh, I'm doing something right. Okay, the trolls be damned.
What do you think, Chris? You think that was a – did you get that double meaning from that?
No.
Or kind of went over your head. Yeah.
I didn't catch it in that way. I was like, okay, we're home. Where are they home? I'm thinking, okay, well, Han's supposedly from Corellia, or however it's pronounced, and Chewie's from Kashyyyk, so okay, what does that mean, and where are they landing? But no, I never really caught that, at least not at first, but yeah. seeing, you could see it with Kathleen, JJ, and all the new people, and of course we already saw it with the old people, that it's a family. They've made this a family, and they made a point to say, which I already knew this, that, and a lot of us already knew this, that they're all fans. Everybody that's working on it now are fans. They grew up with it. They're fans. We all knew this. And, you know, like when we first found out that Disney bought Lucasfilm, as soon as I heard Kathleen Kennedy's name, I'm like, we're in good hands. And then when they gave it to JJ, I was like, we're in good hands. Just those two names right there put me at ease as far as what we're getting with Star Wars. So.
Yeah, I just took it as, like, I was kind of reading between the lines a little bit, obviously, there, of course, but you never know. It could be one of those, you know, JJ's known for his mystery, and mm-hmm. and maybe that was just like, hey, throw that in there just to let everybody know you guys are in good hands. Don't worry. So, and then the rest of the Thursday was just, it was all about the trailer, obviously. We went back to the house, and we watched it, you know, 50 times back and forth and broke it all down. Thursday, we just spent walking around the floors and checking everything out. Friday, you know, in each day of this celebration, there was kind of a theme, kind of a big reveal each day, which was kind of neat. So obviously Thursday was all about The Force Awakens. Friday was all about Battlefront. If you were a Battlefront fan, Friday was your day. You got the panel. You got some of the obviously the trailer was out, so we watched that. I don't know if
Bad Batch that day.
Oh yeah, Bad Batch was seen, which I didn't get to see, which I kind of wish I did. But
dude, that was my moment to cry. I'll
was
admit
it? Yeah, yeah.
Without spoiling it for anybody, because now it's on StarWars.com. You guys can go see it yourself. But
that's right.
When they show Echo, they called it a Saving Private Ryan, but when they showed Echo and you see what the Trade Federation, or I'm sorry, the Separatists themselves had done to Echo, mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't even a completed model, and I teared up. I was like, oh my God. It was tragic, man. Really tragic. Like, for a cartoon show that wasn't even complete, I teared up. I was like, oh my God, so sad.
Yeah, that was a big thing, too. I did hear a lot of people talking about the Bad Batch. And then I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday, I went to a panel, the Untold Clone Wars stuff, and there was some really neat stuff.
That
was the first day.
That was the first day. Yeah, the Untold, because I saw that one, that was the first panel I got to sit in on Thursday, and that, I think, I don't know, I mean, maybe you had the same experience, but after the panels, when they had the Q&As, while they allowed them to go on, that seemed to be when the most really cool information was coming out. Because during that Q&A at that one, I believe that's where Pablo had mentioned that the Old Republic was, in fact, Legends. I was like, oh, sweet, I knew it! Little things like that, and then seeing the Vong and stuff, I was like, ah. Oh. But the whole Cad Bane angle with Boba Fett and how the whole, you know, Boba and or Jango and Cad were the top two bounty hunters, but the two of them couldn't prove who was best, and Jango died before Cad could figure that out. So he took it on himself to clone Boba, to train Boba. And I just, I hope that angle still plays in canon. And someone, I think, had asked if it was either during that or during Bad Batch if that information was canon. And Filoni had a great tongue-in-cheek answer. He's like, well, we'll say for us right here in this room that it's canon. It's all, but outside this room, we can't really apply it, but we'll say it's canon. I was like, that's a funny answer. I love this guy.
Yeah, I was in that panel too, and it was all animatic stuff, but it was pretty close to being done. All I had to do was, you know, finish the animation. But yeah, it was going to be some great stories with especially Boba and Cad is what I got out of it, and kind of their relationship. And they show one scene where they're on this planet. I think it was Tatooine, because they were talking about, you know, Tatooines were going to come take you. Yeah, they were kind of around a campfire. And,
the Tuscans showed up, and
Tuscans
was to play bait.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to fight back? Well, you don't want to fight too back. They'll kill you.
Yeah, so it was going to be some neat stuff with Cat and Boba, and it's kind of one of those bittersweet things. Like, you saw that, they still had so many, looked like great stories to tell in the Clone Wars, and they weren't close to being done. But, you know, this is what Disney wanted to go. This is their angle, so they had to.
The nice thing about the heroes and villains panel was someone had asked again, you know, about these characters. Because during that trailer, we found out Rex is coming back, Ahsoka's back, Vader's back, and Hondo is back. And so someone was asking, you know, well, what about Cade? You had this really cool thing on the other one where we saw Cade and Boba. Are they going to come back? And Filoni had mentioned then, you know, that they were very aware that they didn't want it to be Clone Wars Volume 2. That, you know, the Rebels was about the Rebel family, and they had one story like a river, and that the Clone Wars cast was like a side stream that was winding in and out as the story required it, but it was definitely the Rebels story, which, you know, I know a lot of people right now, like, that's their big problem with Rebels, is they're like, oh, I don't want a Clone Wars Volume 2. And then you've got the other side of fans like, I want to know what happened with my Clone Wars characters. Yeah. So seeing them do it that way and knowing that they're so focused on getting it right. And I think that's the overall thing since Lucas sold Star Wars, is that the people that have it now want to get it right. And that has filled me with the most confidence, even as a fan of the EU, having it shifted off and becoming Legends, knowing that these guys want to get it right and were willing enough to reboot everything from canon, to do that and to allow that to continue to grow and have one that's not hampered with the old, well, it doesn't line up. I mean, granted, there's still some people that think maybe down the road it'll happen, but knowing that these people are so focused on getting it right definitely leaves me feeling relief.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I got that feeling too. Just those panels that I got to go to about the Clone Wars and Rebels, and I forgot that was on Thursday, but Friday, like I said, was all about Battlefront, and I don't know if you guys are gamers, but I'm kind of intrigued. I'll probably actually play this. I mean, I like the shooter type games. I know my kids will be all over this thing. They showed a pretty cool trailer, not actual game footage trailer, but just, you know, the game trailers they always do. We saw one for the Old Republic and stuff like that. So, really cool trailer.
They actually said that was all game footage.
They did?
Yeah, they said that after they showed it. See what they did in between panels and stuff. When it would kick back, they'd have a couple of, they had two or three guys on the floor that did interviews and stuff. So they brought people over there, and they did. They said that was all in-game footage that was shown.
Oh, because those were like cutscenes then, as far as like gameplay, and then you get to a cutscene maybe. I don't know. We'll see, because that was some pretty crazy visuals watching the trailer.
Yeah.
So it'd be
yeah.
It'd
at
be
one
cool.
point, they had said that it was not physical gameplay, but it was all the engine at work, and that was the graphics that you would expect. But
okay, yeah.
But
I
didn't get to go to it because I wanted to do the Bad Batch in that half hour time. By the second day, I figured out okay. A half hour is too close. I won't be able to get in that queue line to see Bad Batch, so I had to ditch Battlefront, which I wanted to do so bad. And then they gave out those really cool shirts.
Yeah,
you
sure thought, yeah.
The Battle Pods thing, I never got to get on that either. The line for that was insane. There were so many insane lines, like the props and stuff I didn't get to get with Roxy. I was able to get on the speeder bike. Well, that's not true. Mm. I wasn't able to get on the speeder bike. They told me no. But Matt Booker of Jedi News got to, and that guy's just as big as me, so I'm like, what the heck? You definitely, I figured out that it comes down to not just being nice to the staffers, but finding the right staffers. You know, there was a lot of being cut off at one entrance, and then you look over at the other one, and the other side just still letting people in. You're like, wait, what? And so by the time you get over there, you find out, oh, well, yeah, if you'd have been at that entrance first, you could have got in with those 60 people. But no, you went to the one where the lady was dragging people off with security. And I literally watched a lady have a guy get drug off. He left the line to go to the bathroom, and on his way back, she would not let him back through into the queue. And he's like, my family's right there. And he was insistent he was going to go. And she's like, you're not getting past it. You're not understanding. It's full. I'm not letting you back in. And he's like, but my family. And she's like, I'll get security. She didn't even finish it. And the two guys were walking over. I'm like, oh, this is going to get ugly.
Yeah. You know, Thursday and Friday with some of the stuff going on, I was like, wow, this is pretty busy. And I was kind of somewhat disappointed in the fact that we didn't get to some of the major panels. Like, we didn't get into the Carrie Fisher panel because it was solid. It was booked. And a couple other panels were just booked. And I was a little upset, not upset, but just a little disappointed that they didn't simulcast those for those of us that were at the convention, because that digital stage was open for some of those panels. I wish they could have streamed that into one of the digital stages some of us that didn't make it in could go in there. So I was a little, and it goes back to the fact that I don't know if they were really prepared for how busy this thing was going to be, because I think they could have had that as a, hey, if this thing fills up, which it might, let's go ahead and stream that to, we're streaming it online anyway, let's stream it to one of the digital stages. And they didn't do that. It was kind of a bummer.
That main queue, once the first day opened up, that whole big hall was just a waste of space. Like, they were using it to line people up to get their autographs. So I missed out on the Rebels Season 2 premiere because my wife got me a secret surprise on this day at that time. And I'm like, not that day, not that time. And she's like, no, that day, that time. I spent a lot of money. And I'm like, that's the one event that I have to be at for Star Wars Rebel Roundtable. Like, what the heck? So I didn't get to go, and then I find out, you know, because we're sitting over there, and at this point, I've kept it a secret, and then the guy's like, and this is the line for Mark Hamill. I'm like, I looked at her, and I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I got to meet Mark Hamill, but I kept looking at that room going, this is such a waste of space right now, because it was just so big, and there was nothing going on while the convention was going, and you're thinking about all those vendors on the exhibition floor, and you're like, once the events start going between things and people come from one and they're trying to get across to the other, that's when it got unbelievably packed. You felt like a sardine. I mean, you know, Matt, you were talking about trying to buy some toys and stuff. I remember, you know, the first day I spent on the exhibit floor for most of the day just trying to find a Kukruk, a Jason, and a Jaina Solo, which I could not find. I did hear someone saw one for like $150, but it was so hard just to even look at the things on the shelves, let alone find the guy that was running the booth and tell them. I mean, I'd seen people online going, dude, is that person stealing that thing? Like, it would seem like people were stealing stuff a lot because, like, there'd be, like, panels with stickers and stuff, and you'd grab, like, the four that you wanted and then go up to the corner. But it's like, you know, the shady part of my mind is like, dude, it'd be so easy for that guy just to grab those things and turn and just walk into the flow and no one would know. It was just that packed. So there was that trade-off where even though it was that packed, like if you went to take a picture of something like the Lego TIE Fighter, you know, I had my kid get in there. I go to take a picture. I kind of do that lean back to try to get it in. Next thing I know, everybody kind of clears a bubble so I can get a really good shot so it doesn't look as crowded. So you see a lot of the photos from Celebration and it doesn't look as crowded as some of the other photos. That's because people were being very polite. I would say maybe about one out of every 100 people would have the bag of douchery to step on top of my little kid in her stroller. But luckily, like I say, it was one in 100. But when that happened, you know, the dad side of me would get a little ticked off. Like, really? You can't, you know, watch where you're walking when there are this many people? Like, you see a gap and they dive for it. They don't realize that down 2.5 feet at the bottom, there's a person. So, yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, it was a family-friendly event, but the amount of people make it hard for a family to enjoy it, especially if you're there like I was with, kids ranging from 3 to 12. So, you know, I definitely suggest if you're going to bring your family, do it your first Celebration trip or just do it for one day and then cut them loose. Because on the Bad Batch Day, Friday, that was my son's birthday. So we were doing half a day at Disney and half a day there. So me and him went down there. We did the Bad Batch, which he liked, but we waited an hour and a half beforehand to make sure we got into it. So by the time we got into it, the first episode of 4 gets over and he's like, Dad, I got to go pee. And I'm like, all right, William, where's the bathroom? William's like, it's over there, but I don't think they're going to let you back in. And so we're like, are you kidding me? So I made him hold it. So he had to hold it all that time. Then when that gets over, we go to the Delray one. And, of course, he doesn't care about the books. He doesn't care that, you know, all 20 of the Journey to the Force Awakens books are being released on September 4th. That's no big taboo to him. I'm sitting there going, that's insane. And he's just like, I'm bored. So, yeah, definitely one of those things where I learned a lot just by bringing my family and stuff. While I did have a lot of fun and it was magical moments for all of us, because we all got the picture with Mark Hamill and stuff, I don't know if I would ever bring them back. And my wife was okay with saying, you can go by yourself next time. So we were like, okay, cool. Because when I was thinking that this time, I was like, I should just go by myself. I felt like I was being a selfish dick. So at least this way, I'm like, all right, you know, I'm off the hook. I can go and do this, and it's guilt-free fun for me.
Yeah, I definitely feel you about that because I was, you see people walking around with strollers, and it's like it took them probably half hour just to go from one end to the other. I mean, it was like that. And like I said, I was at the point of I almost brought, my family down, but due to work and school and stuff like that, it's like, hey, go ahead and go by yourself and have a good time. And I'm glad I did because it would have been kind of rough for them. I mean, they're older, so they could have hung with me, but I don't know if they would have been able to handle 4 days of that. It would have been too much. So it's one of those things where it's for Star Wars fans and, it's kind of like do your own thing. Maybe one day, like you said, just kind of, I would have taken them like the Thursday thing because it was, Force Awakens and all that. But after that, I probably would have said, hey, after that, it's cool. So Friday ended up like that. Just a lot of walking around and just checking things out, trying to get pictures. Like you said, it was tough though. I mean, every single prop area and photo booth area and whatever they, Belgian stuff that was walking. I mean, it was just lines for everything. And then, so let's talk about Saturday. Saturday was Rebels Day. Mm-hmm. For all intents and purposes, it was Rebels Day. We got a panel. We started off with a panel, and we got a fantastic trailer breaking down the season 2 of Rebels, which, like I said earlier, when they do these trailers, this trailer was all about the first 2 episodes. And I guess, Mark, so you didn't get to see the premiere, right?
No, I did see the trailer, but I did not get to see the premiere itself.
Okay. So the trailer, like I said, a lot of it came from the first 2 episodes. Except for one thing, and you talked about this, Mark. I mean, everybody went – this is one of those things where Rebels is up there, man. I had no idea that it was going to be this powerful with fans. I mean, you had to line up pretty darn early for that premiere of the first 2 episodes. I mean, I'm talking the guys that I was with, Carl and Jason, all of them. They had to line up around 4 or 5 hours early just to get into this thing at 6 o'clock. So I think they started queuing like at about 12:30, 1 o'clock. I mean, that's how crazy this thing was. So the trailer, let's talk about the trailer. Fantastic trailer. We got a bunch of new people coming back. Most notably, one of the ones that got a huge ovation was Rex. We see Rex in kind of, he's what, Mark, help me out with this. He's probably, 50 or 60 years old by now?
I would say, yeah, he looks like he's in his 60s at this point. And it's tough to say with the clones. I mean, they could still be doing some advanced aging. But, you know, they showed him, and it wasn't until you started seeing stills of the trailer hit the online arena that you're like, hey, that looks like Wolf behind him. And who's the other clone?
Yeah. Oh. This trailer, man, it just, everybody was going crazy. Again, of course, highlighted by some Darth Vader, which is my favorite character. I would love seeing this. I'm like, wow, they are really going to feature Darth Vader in this thing. And this is one of the things that I've always wondered, like, this is my favorite period for Vader. I mean, this is when he's in his prime, right? But I was like, well, I don't know if we're going to show a lot of him because he's kind of like an iconic character. Are they going to do that? But they have no qualms about throwing Vader right into the mix. And in this trailer, it's a lot of Vader, and we get to see him in combat, lightsaber combat, against Kanan and Ezra, and you're like, whoa, I mean, it's blowing everybody away. Chris, did you get to see the trailer?
Yeah, I did. They actually had technical difficulties at the time, so I actually had to wait like 15 minutes before we actually got to see it. But yeah, that was seeing Vader against, in the lightsaber battle against Kanan and Ezra, was like, what? Yeah. I mean, my jaw just dropped. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I knew they were bringing Vader back into it because, you know, we got Tarkin saying, okay, I'm bringing somebody else in. And, you know, he brings Vader in. So, you know, that Vader's going to be heavy in it. But I was not expecting
this much, huh?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting them to run into them, too.
Yeah. like I said, Rex was huge, got a huge ovation. He's got the beer now. And I'm hearing, I think this is confirmed, that the other clone you're talking about, Mark, I believe they said it's Gregor.
Well, that's definitely the fan theory. No one, as far as I'm aware, no one has confirmed this from Lucasfilm. There's been a panel where someone took a picture of Gregor's forearm armor, and they take a panel of that other clone, and the armors look very similar. You know, and I have to agree with that. The only problem I have is, where's the connection to Rex with Gregor? I don't remember Gregor having any connection to Rex or even Wolf. Whereas Wolf, like, can kind of make sense. He was, you know, another commander of a Jedi general. Like, at least, like, you know, maybe a few of them that did not do the Order 66 got together. And I believe it was in the Bad Batch where Filoni had actually addressed that, where he talked about the fact that, you know, they had planned the Clone Wars to go past Episode 3. They had Ahsoka's fate plotted out. They had Rex's fate plotted out. They knew what they were going to do with Order 66. And the Fives arc in Season 6 was basically the breaking of the spell for Rex. That by knowing about the chip and that kind of stuff, that when Order 66 would have went down, he'd have had enough mental information to break the spell. And by not shooting on the Jedi, he himself would become a traitor. And in that moment, the other clones would also turn on him. So they alluded that there was one hell of a story there as to why Rex is alive and how he got where he was. So how it, you know, I get back to, how would that tie into Gregor? Why would Gregor be there unless there was like, you know, an underground railroad for clones that were all going to Swiss Family Rex, you know, in his little awesome walker of doom. But yeah, that I haven't heard anything that confirms it. So I'm still leaning towards that's a lot of us fans really hoping. Whereas Wolf, like, I'm pretty positive that's Wolf. The scar lines up, the artificial eye, all that stuff. Yeah. And you're like, okay, you know, if any clone's really going to be the ones that are going to disagree with Order 66, I would think it's the ones that deal with the Jedi the most. You're either going to have those that were with a Pong Krell and they were like, kill all the Jedi, or you've got the ones that were with Master Kenobi and stuff that are like, well, I don't know, the Jedi aren't all that bad.
Yeah. I think one of the stills that came out that was kind of really neat was when they showed the picture of Rex and the other two, Wolf, you can see the scar on the side of their head where the chip was obviously taken out. So that was kind of neat to see that.
I don't know.
Yeah, you might want to take a look at that. So that'll give you maybe some more insider clues of what's going on. But yeah, like I said, this trailer was a lot of Vader. We got to see some really cool stuff. Hey, Hondo's back in the Rebels, so we got him coming over. So they're showing that they're not afraid in this panel. They're not afraid to bring a lot of these Clone Wars characters back to Rebels, and it just makes you wonder. You know, could we see? We never really. I mean, we kind of know what happened to Maul, but it's still open that this he can make it in there. In what capacity? I don't know, because he really doesn't have a good track record with the Empire anymore and Darth Sidious. So,
see, and I wanted to ask that at a couple different panels, but
yeah,
I had my kid and he was like, we got to go. But I'm like, come on now. People were asking about Cade or Cad Bane, and I'm just like, but Maul, like, you even wrote a comic that was supposed to be like, you know, what happened to him? And all you did was told us what happened to Mother Talzin. Like,
yeah.
I mean, in a lot of ways, Son of Dathomir sets Maul up to be Kylo Ren. I mean, he leaves, he knows that he cannot defeat his master, and he tucks tails and runs with the Mandalorians. A warrior race. He's with the warrior side of the Mandalorians, not the pacifists, but the actual warriors. And he's running from the Dark Lord. So, I mean, logically to me, wait out the Dark Lord. At the end of Return of the Jedi, I would be knocking on the Rebellion's door and saying, I'm actually next in line for the throne, and my Mandalorians are going to take care of your little army, and I'm going to use the Force on your little Jedi. And I mean, that just to me seems like the best thing. I mean, he's already got the information. He could be training other people. He's shown us that with Savage. It just makes sense for him to kind of, you know, lick his wounds and build his own empire. Pull early Sith in Legends, where they ran off and built their empire anew and came back later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, like you said, the possibilities are endless now, especially with pulling in a lot of these characters back into the Rebels. And one of the big ones is Ahsoka, which came in at the very end of Season 1, and we're seeing her in Season 2. And this is shaping up to be, for Rebels, one of those moments where it's kind of like an iconic moment in all of Star Wars, where you get, ultimately, I don't think it's any shock or any surprise that it's going to have to come down to Vader and Ahsoka at some point in the series. And maybe it's going to be like a series finale where these two clash up and we figure out the fate of Ahsoka and what happens to her. But Chris, what do you think about seeing Ahsoka? I mean, she's back in Season 2. I won't say in what capacity because it's kind of spoilerish, but she's back and Vader's back, and ultimately these two got to clash, right?
Oh, man, I tell you what, that's what everybody's asking. And yeah, at some point they do have to meet. And Dave Filoni has talked about that. I love that he said that him and George sat down before he left and they talked every bit of this out. So there's something there, and it's just a matter of when they do it, if they do it. I mean, I'd say if. They'll have to match up at some point. They just have to, because it'd be too awesome not to. They know the fans want that. So,
yeah, you know, Mark, you finish it up here with this Ahsoka and Vader. I mean, this is one of the things that I've always, ever since she came back, or ever since she left and she's back in Rebels, I'm like, oh man, okay, it's setting up for this big reveal. What do you think?
Well, I mean, Filoni, like I said, he said that they had a plan for her character arc past Revenge of the Sith. So I kind of have a feeling that they're going to take and adapt as much as they can of that. I think by bringing her and Vader in this regard, it allows them to do another thing that Filoni has said. He did not want Vader to be the General Grievous, the mustache twirling villain that could never get the Rebels. And yet now we've set him up for that. Or have we? You know, I mean, it looks like he's being set up for that, or Ahsoka's going to take the fall so the Rebels can continue on and Vader will think that he's completed what he needs to complete. That works twofold. It allows the Rebellion story to continue on past Vader, gets Vader back out of the story without becoming that muscle-twirling villain, and it also allows Ahsoka's character to have the conclusion that we didn't get in the Clone Wars. So you have that arc coming to an end, and you have a continuation of this story as well as an arc that blends the two coming to an end. So I think it's a matter of time before we see Ahsoka take some sort of fall. I mean, when we see Vader coming after Kanan and Ezra, and he takes the lightsaber and he's bending it back through the Force with Ezra's lightsaber and he's bringing it towards his throat, you know, I almost have the feeling at that point that maybe Ahsoka's already dead. You know, I mean, I just can't imagine where we hear her talking about wanting to tag along and then her not being there anymore. When she first showed up at the end of Season 1, I was thinking, you know, well, here we go. Here's our Yoda. Kanan's Obi-Wan. Now we've got Yoda. Ezra's Luke. Ezra's about to get some serious training. Maybe not anymore. Maybe she doesn't play that long. My not knowing anything about you know, the season two beginning kind of leaves me more speculation. But when people that have seen it are wondering if she's still got more of a role to play, it leads me to think that maybe they know she didn't die in those first two episodes, which was kind of where I was thinking it was going to go. I thought they might just do that right away and get it over with. So they're like, well, we can't have Ahsoka in the rest of the season now, can we? And then everybody else is like, well, Darth Maul, Darth Maul. So you never know when anyone gets cut up anymore if they're really dead.
Well, you know what? I was lucky enough to get into that season one and two premiere. Fantastic premiere. I mean, it totally blows away anything in season one. And a lot of the stuff you see in that trailer, you're going to see in the first two episodes. And I'll talk about that more in a second. Mark, I know you got to go. Give us your just overall, like, your impressions of your first celebration. Anything else that maybe you didn't get a chance to comment on before you take off?
Well, like I said, it's a learning curve. I was told, you know, don't expect 20 to 15 minute waits and wait for about 3 or 4 hours for things. And I thought the guy was exaggerating, and no, he wasn't. Scott Rifas was dead on that. There were a lot of panels that I thought I was going to get to do back to back and stuff. And it basically turned out I mainly hit 1 to 2 panels a day if I was lucky. It was a learning curve, to say the least. And I will definitely be going alone and sacrificing a lot more of the on the floor time just to sit and wait, for the panels. Cause, you know, you said it, Matt, yourself, the sitting and talking with the other Star Wars fans, that was as much fun as walking around and seeing everyone in costume. Plus, most of the costumers were walking around anyway, you know, allowing themselves to get their photos taken and stuff. I ran across a lot of the big names while sitting waiting for lines. You know, we were waiting to get in on, the Star Wars at Del Rey, and Dave Filoni and crew came walking down to go into one of the press rooms and stuff and walked right past us. So a lot of cool things like that. Waiting to get on the elevator after the 501st photo shoot, you know, because my daughter, she's got that stroller. We'd fill up the elevator, and all of a sudden wheeling up next to us is Peter Mayhew. So I'm taking photos of my son, and my son has no clue who's sitting behind him. You know, I'm like, so I'm posting that online. I'm like, Gavin has no clue. And so we gave our elevator ride down to Peter Mayhew. Now, if I was smart, I would have told it to the guy behind Peter and made me and Peter get on the next elevator together. But I thought, you know, getting me points with Peter Mayhew was probably the better way to go. You know, walking around the floor, you have those opportunities where, like, Kenny Baker walks up with his little handler and stuff. And, you know, you see the handler, and my kids are all like, is that a famous person? I'm like, that's R2. So, you know, little cool moments like that that just happen spontaneously. The downsides are the lines, and I think the other big downside is the swag. It was hard to know when swag was being given out, hard to know, you know, where you were supposed to line up. I managed to get a Christie Golden signed poster only because I was walking over towards where Eric Schoeneweis was when all of a sudden this line started forming, and I was like, you know, I will talk to you in a second. And I stood in the line to figure out what it was for, and bam, there she is signing posters and giving them away, but I wouldn't have got one otherwise. I tried to get the collection set of all 6 pins, only got one, but it's the sets of patches and stuff that really irked me. Cause it's like, yay for you that got all 6, but I've just got BB-8's head and that's it. So like, I wish I could have got a complete patch since I only got one of them suckers. Little things like that where if it's your first time going and you don't have a clue about those kind of things, you know, you definitely want to take the time and do the research. I did it like I normally camp, and I wait till the last day to pack and everything and go unprepared. And, you know, I don't know why as a Boy Scout you would think that I would be prepared, but going unprepared is part of the adventure for me, and it does not work for a celebration. So definitely take the time, do the research. Don't do the app, but create your own calendar. That's a William Devereaux trick right there. Cause I was like, how is it your things reminding you for all the right times? Oh, I'm not using the app. I'm like, oh, okay. Cause that app wasn't even updated all the way until the day up. So that made it planning hard. And then I'm looking through the insider's guide and didn't realize there was 3 sets of schedules in there, not just one. So of course that's how I missed the What Is Canon panel that I really wanted to go to. For me, all the negative things aside from the lines themselves came down to my piss poor planning. So, I can avoid that on my next trip.
I can definitely, I understand that. I did the same thing as you, Mark. I swear. I just went there and I said, I'm with this group and I'm just going to follow them around. You know, I'll just do whatever they want to do. Cause there wasn't anything that earth shattering that I had to go. I mean, obviously the Force Awakens stuff and all the big stuff, Rebels and all that.
But they were Rogue already One. Going to that. So you were just tag with.
So, everything was kind of just whatever you guys are doing, I'll just follow along. So I kind of did it that way. So, and then the celebration store forget trying to get into that thing. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was like, you know, 2-3 hour waits just to get into that. So, yeah, I definitely feel you there. But like you said, it was all about the communal aspect of it and just hanging out with friends after the con and just playing a trailer and watching the after show stuff and streaming some of the stuff to the house we were staying in. So it was just, that was like the best part. That was a great time doing that with just a bunch of Star Wars fans. So, Mark, you got to go, but thanks again for coming on. That's some great stuff and good to hear your insights. And where are you going to be at, just so people know before you go?
Well, you can always find us on the Star Wars Report website's Second Airborne Division of Podcasts at www.starwarsreport.com. I podcast on the Rebels Report Roundtable as well as Star Wars Report podcast proper and Star Wars Beyond the Films, our Legends/EU podcast. All that fun stuff at www.starwarsreport.com.
Cool. Sounds good, man. Hey, thanks again, man. And we will catch up with you later.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was a blast, and I look forward to meeting both of you guys at one of the next celebrations or cons or something, because I've got to get to more. That's the biggest thing I could say to everybody is if you've never been to any kind of event like this, be it a convention or a celebration, do it to yourself and go. It's especially if you're one that you have a moment where you're like, I don't know about Star Wars. I'm ready to get off this boat. Go down there because it's got a definite Lazarus effect.
With that,
may the Force be with you guys.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later. So, Chris, I'm going to continue with the Rebel stuff. I did get into the premiere. Fantastic premiere. I mean, we did find out June 20th is the premiere date for this 2-episode season opener.
Yeah.
And then I think it's going to continue potentially in the fall. So we don't have very long to wait for you guys to see again. I can't wait to see again. But I got in there. It's everything like you wanted, like, especially for me, for such a fan of the OT. I mean, it just brought a lot of the new elements with familiar stuff from the old, Vader's in it big time. And, let me just say, like, a lot of stuff you'll see from the trailer, like, you know, he does have a battle with Kanan and Ezra. I mean, this we're getting this in the first 2 episodes of season 2. It's crazy. And, the way they showed him, Vader, I'm talking about, is, I don't know, man. It's like they went back and they studied film from David Prowse and maybe Bob Anderson, who did some of the lightsabers stuff. And they just like studied how he walked and how he moved. And they were able to translate that into the animated form. Because there's a couple times where Vader does his classic turn and walk away where his cape kind of flows. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I'm watching Empire or something or Return of the Jedi. And the way they do that, and of course, they got James Earl Jones back to do the voice. I mean, how great is that? It sounded fantastic. I'm like, oh, I'm loving this. And then the way they show him and his combat, his lightsaber style. You know, from Anakin from the prequel trilogy, he was really powerful, but he also had a little finesse too. You know, like especially when he fought Dooku in Episode 3, mm-hmm. he showed a lot of that finesse where he was able to cut off the hands of Dooku. But now that he's in the suit and the cape, he is just flat out just overpowers you. He's so powerful, and he doesn't have to do a lot. He can do a couple of moves and twists if he needs to. But it's all about the power, and they really convey that in his lightsaber style in this animated first 2 episodes. And there's one scene where he does this overhand strike, and he hits Kanan, and they clash sabers. But it's so violent, and it's so powerful that the saber of Vader, as soon as they clash, it kind of almost bounces off, and Kanan's lightsaber kind of bounces away from him because of the power of him. And they do this like quick spark of energy. Just to show you how powerful and how violent of a strike it was. You're like, oh my gosh, this is so great. Everybody's just going crazy in the theater, like, whoa. And let me just tell you that they don't waste time in bringing Ahsoka back. She is in, this is not a spoiler, she is in the first 2 episodes. And I'll just leave it at that. And just, you guys are going to be blown away by how this thing ends. And this is just the first 2 episodes. So, and they show off some of the piloting skills of Anakin, which is Darth Vader now, and what he does in his TIE. You're just going to be like, you're going to say the same thing. You're just going to be blown away. I can't wait for you guys that haven't seen it to see this.
Yeah.
You're going to be, if you're not on the Rebels by now, this is what's going to push you on there, and this is going to be like, where have I been? Why haven't I seen this? So, Chris, I know you didn't get this chance to see it, but no, you will not be disappointed. And like I said, if you like the trailer, you know, it's going to blow you away. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Listening, and to know that these people are back. Go ahead, Chris.
I was going
to
say, listening to Dave Filoni and what he talked about bringing the Clone Wars characters in, and it includes Ahsoka, that, you know, the main characters are the rebels, and these other characters will come in and out of the story, you know.
Right.
And like he said about Cad Bane, he said, yes, if we can work it to where it makes sense for him to be there, then he'll be there, which I think is fantastic. And mm-hmm. I kind of, in seeing the trailer for this and seeing Vader go up against them two, I kind of had the feeling that maybe Vader's would be kind of like when he fought Luke in Empire, where he was toying with him. I kind of feel like that's kind of what we would see, mm-hmm. you know, because like you said, you know, he's powerful enough. He cut both of them down in a heartbeat, especially yes. Ezra.
Oh, know. Yeah. You're exactly right, Chris. I mean, when you watch the show when it comes out on June 20th, it is. I say it like this. He's kind of like a cat that's playing with a mouse. He's just kind of he's having fun almost. You know what I mean? I mean, this, like you said, he can easily just wipe these two out. But he's having fun, man. He's just like toying with. I mean, these are rebels. These are who he's supposed to track down. So he's having fun just toying with these guys before he gets rid of them. So yeah, definitely got that vibe from that first episode. So Saturday, Chris, for you, did you stream anything on Saturday?
I streamed everything every day.
Okay.
Because I was working.
Did they do anything Rebels-wise for you?
No.
Not really?
Okay. We got the Rebels panel in the trailer, but other than that, we didn't get the Bad Batch, which I haven't even watched yet. I'm going to watch them this week, like watch one each day or something. Mm-hmm. Because when I first noticed, oh, they're up, they're full episodes, so I'm like, okay, no, I can't just jump over there and watch them right now.
Yeah.
But what they, even though I wasn't there, and from the best that I could tell from how they were streaming, that this was far better than the last one. And each one that I've been to four, each one was better than the one before. They keep mm-hmm. learning from their mistakes, it looks like. And to me, this particular one, with the streaming and what all we got to see, is Disney has more than enough embraced Star Wars. You know, as before Disney, you can kind of look at what we got from the celebrations. They were pretty straightforward. But this one, I mean, to have three big reveals like we did, to have, you know, the trailer, actually four, and having the Rogue, which was a surprise, and having basically four major reveals. And, you know, the one before, the last one that I went to, we didn't get anything, really. I mean, right. Basically, the only thing we got was the Darth Maul episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That was about the only thing we got out of it. But, you know, with nothing else coming up, that you can expect that. But I tell you how they basically did the streaming, which was fantastic. And if you haven't seen it, you can go on YouTube and search Star Wars Celebration streaming day, and it'll pull up day 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they're all 6 hours to 9 hours, depending on which. Saturday's the longest; it's like 9 hours, and almost 10 hours, and it ends with Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill's panel.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. And which that was great for me to be able to sit down while I'm working throughout the day and watch these things. And then, of course, in the evening time, finish up and then just kick back. Went over to a friend's house and we just kicked back and watched the Mark Hamill panel and the Ian McDermott panel. That was really good to get to see. But what they did was, anybody that was over around where they had the cantina set up, the live pool, you know, where the diorama and everything, that's where the streaming was done. When they weren't in a panel, that's where they were at, because they had these two or three, four different people that were doing interviews and here and there. Like they had Steve Sansweet at one point come over and sit down and was interviewing. They bring people over from different companies, different new products coming out. We had the Hot Wheels and, you know, they just had all these different people coming in and out throughout the day in between panels. So that was really good to get to see, like, the guy for Hot Wheels, get to sit there and talk to him about what's coming up, which was kind of nice. And other people, like, they got to see Billy D. Williams. They had Billy D. Williams and Corey D. Williams sitting in the cantina, like, first thing Sunday, I think, or Saturday or Sunday, early first thing, the guy sat down with them and interviewed them for, like, 30 minutes, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, but it was a lot of fun. And if you can go back and you can watch it, and in between, you get to watch the crowd. You know, if they'd have, like, say, so-called dead space where nothing was going on, they just play, you hear the soundtrack music, and then you'd see the mm-hmm. crowd in that area walking around. You just get to yeah. see all these freaking people, and you can see how busy it was, so.
I think that's one thing that, out of this whole celebration, that really was, that was huge. I mean, to stream that, I mean, that was such a great idea, and that's one thing they really knocked out of yep. the park, because I'm hearing from everybody that didn't get a chance to go. It was done so well, and the fact that those of us that were at the celebration, we can go back, because I missed a lot of those panels. I missed the Carrie Fisher panel. Luckily, we got back to the house and got to see the Mark Hamill panel, so that was cool. But I didn't have, like we talked about before we started, Chris, we didn't even know until, what, was it a day or two beforehand, yeah. like they were going to stream this, so that was... That
yeah,
was
that
huge.
Was that was a huge, happy surprise for me. I mean, I was ecstatic, but because I was like, okay, I got to bug you about information. Wait for Mark. Mark's, you know, he sent for Yoda's news. He had a guy there. You know, had to sit and wait for all this stuff to come. We didn't have to do that. In fact, I was sending stuff to Mark before the other guy, was there, was able to get it to him, because I'd get it on streaming. You know, the news and stuff like that. Which was fantastic. It was unbelievable. But me sitting there and watching everybody post up on Twitter, seeing Jazz and Carl and Jason, all of you guys posting up pictures was just making me sick to my stomach, because that's what I missed. You know, like I've said before, and ones that I've gone, I never even bothered to try and get in to see Carrie Fisher or even Mark Hamill because the lines are so long.
Right.
And I know that they're going to be online a few days afterwards anyway, because somebody was going to film it and it's going to be up online. And the fact that they streamed it made it even better. If I had known that and I was there, I could have done exactly what you did. You hung out with everybody. Y'all went and did things. Y'all went to certain panels. Y'all did everything together. And that's part of the fun. Because the first one I went to, it was just me and my girlfriend. The second one I went to was me and my girlfriend. But then the last couple of them, I've gone with my friend Scoot and his wife and his brothers and sisters. You know, we go as a group, and it's just so much better that way.
Yeah, I hope they do that with, and I'm sure they will, with the continued celebration. We're going to UK next year. 2016 is going to be across the pond. So obviously I can't go to that. So hopefully they'll do the streaming thing. And now that we're getting all these, you know, movies and TV shows coming out, you know, continuously now for the next 10 plus years, I'm sure we're going to get some great reveals at these celebrations. Yeah. So I will be glued to that if they do that again, which I think they will. Sunday, we'll finish up with Sunday. And, you know, Sundays typically are the moving day. Everybody's kind of leaving, and you don't get a lot of stuff going on. But I tell you what, man, it was just as packed on Sunday. And one of the first things we did was me and Mike, one of my co-hosts at the Rebels podcast, we went to, we go, hey, let's go see the Rogue One panel. And as we were waiting in there and waiting in line, we found out that it was not going to be live streamed. And we're like, whoa, wait a second, this is not live streamed.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other and go, we're going to get something. We're going to get something, whether it's, we didn't think it was going to be a trailer. We thought we were going to get concept art, some photos and stuff like that. So we were really excited that we got into this panel. Started off with Kathleen introducing Gareth Edwards, and he came out. This is a great guy, man. He's really passionate, man. A couple times in the panel, he actually was like, you know, like saying F words. Like, they talked to him about, like, hey, you want to come on and do this project? You know, trying to get him to come on. He's like, oh, I don't know. Same thing with all these guys that get asked to do this. They're like, whoa, I don't know, man. And this is a huge thing. I don't know if I'm ready for this. And he starts reading the script and stuff, and all he says is, oh, F, you know, and he's like, I got to do this now, you know. So this story comes from John Knoll, long time. Of course, everybody knows who John Knoll is. But I think one of the main things was that we found out that Josh Trank was not coming on. And we got all this news yesterday, Chris, about we all know now Josh Trank is not doing the second anthology film.
Yeah.
So at the time they said, oh, he's, you know, he's come down with the flu. He's sick. Well, obviously he wasn't sick. We all can read between the lines. Something was going on. There's a problem and they decided not to have him come.
Yeah.
I don't think he was sick. So, but here's the thing about that. Let's just talk briefly about Josh Trank and his exit. It sounds like, Chris, that he's having some friction with Simon Kinberg and just maybe his work ethic or something was going on with Trank, and they just decided that he was not going to be the one to do the second anthology film. So did you read any of the stories about why he left?
No, actually, I hadn't even noticed that. I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, there's a couple stories going around about how he just didn't, you know, there was some creative differences or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And Simon Kinberg had in him just didn't really, I guess, get along that well. And this also comes on the heels of they're doing Fantastic Four, right?
Yeah.
And of course, we've heard some things about the Fantastic Four and everybody's seen the trailer and nobody's really impressed with it right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I got two major things issue with that, but.
Yeah.
That's for something else.
yeah. No, so there you go. I mean, maybe some of this stuff is all coming together and they just decided maybe he wasn't the guy for the film. So, but going back to the panel, Gareth is there and a great dude, you know, I'm really excited about what he has. And they talked some things and he gave us a little bit of nuggets, nothing really too big. He just basically said, here's the thing. It's between 3 and 4. It is leaning towards more just before A New Hope. I think we all know that now.
Yes.
And it's going to be obviously focused around stealing the Death Star plan. So that kind of got everybody like, oh, great, we're going to get some Rogue stuff. So he says, oh, this is what was great about having Pablo do the panel. He was really good. You know, he said, well, is there anything you can show us? And he's like, well, no, I don't. We haven't started filming yet. And then they cut to Pablo and he kind of looks at his notes like, uh-oh, like, and everybody starts laughing like, well, what are you doing here? Then you don't have anything to show us what's going on. It was kind of a nice little lighthearted moment between the two. Cause he kind of goes through his notes like, I don't have anything else. I was hoping you had something. You know, so he goes, well, okay, I think we do have one thing. And of course, the crowd goes crazy, the lights dim, and we get the Rogue One trailer, which I think is, I don't know if it's even online. It might be online bootleg wise.
Yeah, but, it is.
If you've seen it, it's really cool. It's obviously nothing from the movie because right. They haven't shot anything, but it's just like a concept thing that they did, Lucasfilm did. And it kind of gives you the sense or the tone that they're going for in this Rogue One movie. And it's a great trailer. Everybody loved it. You know, it pans. I think we already talked about it. It pans through this forest, and then it opens up. And almost kind of like The Force Awakens, Chris, where it kind of pans, and we get this giant reveal of the Death Star in the background. And there's a TIE fighter that's flying towards it. And it's just, and then it cuts to a bunch of comm chatter, which it sounds like a bunch of whoever they are, rebels, resistance. I guess it would be rebels at this point. Are in crisis. They're calling over the call. Hey, we're going down. And it's really a gritty type of thing. And we got from Gareth that he's a big fan of like war movies like, you know, Black Hawk Down. He's a fan of, there was another one, I think, not American Sniper, but, there's a bomb movie with Jeremy Renner in it. God, why am I drawing a blank on the movie? But anyway, he's a fan of these movies, these war movies. And he says in the panel, he goes, this is Star Wars. This is about war. So we're going to take a little grittier approach to Star Wars. And it's not going to be any Jedi or anything like that. It's going to be all about the plans to get back the Death Star plans or get the Death Star plans. So, and he showed a piece of concept art where there's like a hovering ship in the background and a bunch of troopers that are like on this land battle. So it got really, everybody really excited about his vision of Star Wars, and it looks like we're going to get a really gritty, nasty look at war through a different view of Star Wars. So, did you see the trailer that leaked, Chris?
Yeah, I finally got it. It took a couple hours before I was able to see. It was really bad quality, but I was able to see and to hear Obi-Wan's voice. And
oh, yeah, I had the voiceover.
I actually found somebody had filmed it from inside. They filmed the whole panel and put it up, so I actually got to see the panel. And you're him sitting there and him cussing and stuff was kind of funny. But I love it. I mean, you know, I was when we first heard it's going to be between 3 and 4, I was disappointed. I was like, what the heck, man? I thought it was, you know, around episode 7 is what I thought. I thought it was, you know. But once I heard what it was about and that, hey, it's going to be like this gritty, tough war movie, I'm like, okay, I'm with that. That sounds cool. That's a story that needs to be told, basically. So I'm all for it.
You know what they also did say is like now that the story group is together and they're doing this all this stuff together, TV shows, comics, movies, they did point to the fact that, you know, this does take place the same roughly this around the same time as the Rebels TV show. Maybe a few years difference.
Yeah.
So the fact that, hey, we may even run into some Rebels characters in this movie. I don't know in what sense, maybe just in conversation or maybe in a background shot, but either way, it's kind of neat that they're kind of tying all these games together, TV, kind of like the Marvel does with the, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel movies and stuff like that. Looks like they're going the same type of route. So that is really cool to see it, to hear Kathleen talk about that. Don't know for sure, but she definitely didn't rule it out. So that was, we were really actually glad to get into that panel, of Rogue One, even though we didn't get a lot. It was that cool little trailer, even though it was all concepts, that was really neat to see. And just kind of, like I said, the tone, the vibe of what this first standalone, which they're calling anthologies, by the way, they're not using the standalone or the, or whatever you want to call it. It's the anthology. So that's kind of neat to see. And then Sunday kind of ended up. That was kind of the big thing for Sunday. After that, we kind of just roamed the halls. You try to get your last minute shopping done and all that kind of stuff. So, but that kind of finished out the whole weekend for us. And like I said earlier, it was all about just the hanging out and kind of walking the floor with your pals and just, you know, not necessarily like a tight schedule. You kind of just go and just have some fun. You know, if you see all the cosplay, you stop somebody, you get some pictures, and you run into all the fans some of the listeners and some of the friends that you've made over all the years podcasting. Actually, Chris, I went over to the tattoo booth and I went and said hi and talked with both Joss Bodwell and Chris 51. I met them. I got some pictures with them and talked about things. And I'm sure we'll hear more from them.
You didn't get a tattoo, huh?
No, you know, it was so packed, Chris. Chris 51 wasn't even tattooing. He was just there promoting the book, I think Force in the Flesh Part 2, which I think Shane, is it Turgeon, the one that does that?
Yeah.
I actually met him, and he expressed interest about coming on the podcast, so we'll probably be in touch
with
him.
Oh, great. Yeah, great.
Yeah. So I met him. Talking to those guys.
I met Shane years and years and years ago before he ever even – he was just starting to gather – tattoos. He was really pushing, trying to do something with tattoos, and he was really working, trying to get Lucasfilm's attention to see if they couldn't do something, because he felt, him and his wife both felt, that there was a subculture there that needed to be told. It just took him forever to get their attention. But now that he's got it, you know, he's doing a great job.
Yeah. So, yeah, we might talk to him in the next few months about what he's got going on. But, yeah, I met those guys, talked with them for a little while. They're having a great time, and just kind of finished walking the floor and getting those last-minute picks and any shopping done. Like I said, Celebration Store was sold out of everything. They weren't prepared for the amount of people that were going to be there, I don't think. So Sunday ended up like that. So we finished up, and I jumped on a plane and came home. But Sunday for you, Chris, anything going on as far as online streaming?
Sunday was kind of the only thing I really remember about Sunday was y'all's
panel.
Then Billy D. Williams was before y'all, and y'all started 30 minutes after he started, so I only watched the first 30 minutes of Billy D. Williams. And there really wasn't a whole lot. They did a lot of interviews, recap, which they put on a lot of interviews that happened throughout the whole weekend. They were catching up, getting all the interviews on the streaming that they did. So, I mean, it was Sunday's always the the winding down day.
Right.
And that's the day you go if you want to go shopping to get a deal because people are going to mark things down. And I was always able to, with me having the media badge, I was always able to get in the day before. When Thursday, you know, you go to pick up your badge, I was always able to get in and get to see what items they had in the store before it opened. And I never bought anything because to me it was always too expensive.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Like, I know there's a lot of shopping going on there, and it could be some, like, really rare stuff that you might want to get. But for me, I didn't buy anything. I was tempted to buy some, like, some of the art stuff is kind of neat, and that's some of the stuff that I've been drawn towards lately. But, like, as far as, like, toys and action figures and stuff like that, it's really, to me, I don't think it's the right place to buy because everything's marked up crazy. I mean, you can go on Amazon and get it $10 cheaper.
Yeah.
Especially like a lot of the figures and stuff like that. I don't know why you'd buy them there just for fact that maybe there's a rare one that's hard to find. You might need to get it there.
I mean, even the Celebration store, to me, they charge too much.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I didn't buy it. I was tempted, but no, I didn't really buy anything because anything I can get it cheaper online here at home. So especially nowadays with being into the 6-inch and all that. So but yeah, Sunday we had a good time doing the panel. We actually got on and selected to do one of the on the podcast stage, which is on the second floor, and there was, you know, roughly 3 or 4 podcasts that would go on the stage each day. And it wasn't a stage, it was like a separate room where they had a bunch of mics set up and a bunch of chairs. Not a huge room, but it was really nice that they did that for the fans. It was really cool. I think a lot of podcasts had good turnouts. I know we had a really good turnout. We had probably 3/4 of the room full, which was neat for a podcast about an animated TV show. So that was really cool to have that. And we brought a bunch of our friends up on stage to talk and all that. So we had a good time doing that, and that was kind of the end of the day for us because that finished around 2:30. So we had to do some last minute stuff and then go back and get ready to leave because I had to leave Sunday. So, but as far as the celebration to go, my first one, I've been to a lot of conventions before, but this is my first Star Wars related one. Like I said, I had a great time. Hanging out with the friends at the house was the high point. I'm so glad that we did that. And if anybody out there listening, if you do a celebration or any convention where you're going to be there for more than a few days, if you have the ability to get together with, even if it's just 4 or 5 people, we had 8 in the house, but do that. I mean, it was so good. We were going to do hotels and kind of try to get in the same hotel, but it was like, hey, why don't we do Airbnb, get a nice big house that has a bunch of rooms in it where we can all crash and spend the night and just after the convention go and just hang out, have the TV, you got YouTube, you can watch all the stuff. We live streamed some of the stuff after we got back from the convention, especially the Mark Hamill panel. We were able to live stream from the house. It's just such a great thing to do. If you have the means, it's a no-brainer. You got to do it. It's so fun hanging out with all your friends in one place. We did all the cooking there. We just barbecued at night. One night we actually ordered out some Chinese or whatever and just sat around and just, you know, you just geek out with each other. It's so fun. The place we were at had a trampoline. It had ping pong table in it. So we were having fun doing that. Just a great time all around. It's like the highlight of it for me going there was, you know, I didn't get to do a lot of the panels. It was kind of overwhelming, just the people that were there. I got to do the stuff that I wanted to do, that I had in my mind. I have to do this when I go there. I have to go to the Force Awakens. I have to go to the Rebels stuff. I have to go to the Rebels panel. I went to the Rebels press conference, stuff like that. But just hanging out afterwards, such a good time, and going around the convention with all your friends is good too. So that was a highlight for me, definitely, and I can't wait to try it again. Hopefully it's probably going to be a few years, Chris. I don't know how they're doing it. It sounds like they're going to,
I think 2017 we'll be right back here and probably Anaheim.
You think it'll be Anaheim? I know they're talking like it could go like East Coast, West Coast, overseas. East Coast, West Coast, overseas. I don't know how they're going to do that.
Well, with the success that they had of this one, I kind of think that they might stay with Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool. I mean, obviously for me because I'm on the West Coast. I know it's harder for those of us that are on the opposite coast, when the celebration's on the opposite side, it's like so hard because the you know, plane fare is so expensive and it's just a big deal. But now that they have the streaming thing, even if it's on the East Coast and I can't make it, the streaming thing is huge. And I think maybe the biggest thing to come out of that was them doing that for those fans that couldn't make it. So kudos to whoever was involved in that, Verizon and Star Wars, whatever, man. Yep. Great job with that. So, Chris, any final thoughts about your experience being at home?
No, it was really good to be able to get to see everything that we saw, not just seeing the panels, but seeing the interviews and, you know, the lady that does the Rebels shows on StarWars.com afterwards, the look behind. Yeah. She did quite a few interviews and she was really good. And then they had two guys that did a lot of interviews, and one of them was, they were both just total Star Wars geeks, and they kind of get carried away sometimes. It was funny because to get so excited that they couldn't control themselves. But, yeah. I mean, all the interviews were really good. They had quite a few on there that were interesting and some that really weren't for me, but I'm sure a lot of people liked them, but all in all, it was really good. It was really disappointing not being able to go, and it was frustrating sitting there watching my friends post up on Facebook and stuff, but, you know, it is what it is, and I think the fact that y'all rented a house would have been really cool, but the one thing that you would miss from that would be all of the other fans that you run into and would end up meeting at a hotel. And right. 9 times out of 10, every time I've gone, I've met some of the stars. They're in the same hotels, so you see them in the lobby and stuff like that. But it definitely is a lot more stressful staying in a hotel than it would be if y'all went out, you know, stayed at the house. Y'all could all go and just kind of, whereas in a hotel, you're just wound up, it seems like, with all the people around. It just, you never have a chance to even wind down, even at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, it was one of the things, one of the nights, I can't remember what night it was, they had like a podcaster meetup, and it was at the Anaheim Hilton, I believe. And there was actually a lot of people that went to that, and we met some of our fellow podcasters. Steven Stanton was there, so I got to talk to him for a minute, and Kathy and Dutch and them were there, so I got to talk to them for a little bit. Dave Collins showed up, so I ran into him and talked to him for a minute, and he's been on the show before. So a lot of these guys that have been on our show before, I was able to reconnect with and just say hi and, you know, talk about what was going on and just enjoying the time being together. So that was cool to see them as well. So yeah, it was a great time and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I can't wait to do it. Having the media pass was also nice, getting 4 days and not a lot of perks, but it definitely helped out, especially for the Rebels panel, because we were able to get some, not only the Rebels panel, the Rebels, press conference, we got into that as well. And then we got special seating for the premiere, which didn't actually end up being that special, but hey, they saved us a seat, so that was cool. It was a good time, man. Every day had something good to draw you in. So
did you get to see the Rancho booth?
That I did go by there, finally, and that line was incredible too. I mean, that there was, you know, 30-40 hour minute wait just to get through that. Mm-hmm. So, like I said earlier, you know, I don't know that they were prepared that it was going to be this huge. I mean, every day was just packed, which is good. It was just great for the Star Wars franchise. Don't get me wrong.
That's the way it always is.
So
it is.
Star Wars definitely back, and it's going crazy now with everything that's going on in the Star Wars universe with the movies and spinoffs and the TV show Rebels and comics. It's not no better time than right now, man.
Yeah, and the crowds are much nicer at these than they are at other conventions. Because I've been to other ones that aren't just the celebrations, and people can get really agitated quickly. But people seem to are more even keel at these. It's more of the community thing. You know, people really get along.
Yeah, definitely walking around the floor and, you know, cosplayers, you know, every 20 feet, you got a different cosplayer doing something, and they're always, you know, super, super nice. Like, hey, real quick, can I get a picture? You know, oh yeah. When you dress up and you cosplay, you kind of have to realize you're going to be stopped every couple seconds for pictures, and everybody was really cool about that. They knew that. And as a cosplayer, especially ones that have done it for a long time, you know, that's just the way it is. You have fun with it. And everything, there's some great costumes. And, in fact, they posted it online, and I never saw them. I wouldn't have known anyway, but Daisy Ridley and John Boyega were actually walking the floor,
yeah,
obviously in disguise. I think he had a Stormtrooper mask on, and she had I can't remember what she had on, some kind of mask on. Yeah. Maybe it was Boosh or something like that.
I thought that was hilarious to me.
Yeah, so they were walking around the comp floor.
I mean, that's all they did. They took a freaking helmet, stuck it on their head.
Yeah, that's all you need. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's just kind of walked the floor, and they were really, that was another takeaway. It was just like I said earlier, that panel and the family vibe you got, and they were just so excited to be involved in this thing, and it just really gives you that sparkle and that hype that, man, this is going to be some good stuff. So I guess with that, Chris, we will wrap it up, man. That's our celebration.
One more thing.
Anaheim recap.
One more thing right quick.
Yeah.
The Comlink, our friend JC, and they did some, they did a few things from there together. Yeah. You know, James Arnold Taylor, he got to do quite a few of the panels. He was the host. But they did a live broadcast from the 501st Bash. But basically, all it was, you weren't in the bash. They had a table set up to the side, and they did interviews for 4 hours with various Tom Kane, you know, various other people. So you can find that if you go on YouTube under the Comlink channel, and you'll find that. And that's another thing that you can sit down and enjoy listening to while you're working, doing something online. You get to see them interviewing several people, and it turned out really good. So, you know, I'm glad that they were able to do that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I didn't even see it. That's another guy I didn't run into. JC, you know, I know he was there, but he was busy doing his comedy stuff, so I never really ran into him. But a lot of the other guys I ran into, Jazz and Joe Hogan, he's been on the show before. So all these guys that have been on the show, it seemed like I ran into them once in a while. So that was cool.
So you got to meet a lot of people for the first time.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That was really fun.
Jazz is something else, isn't he?
Oh, man, he's great. He had this great outfit. He was running around as a Tuscan. Yeah. And then the day I met him was he had his, I think it was sheets that he had, sheets or a blanket or something like that he had turned into a shorts and a collared shirt or a button-up shirt.
I think he got like that from me. I honestly want to say when I showed my, I took the vintage material and I had Scoot's sister made me a button down shirt and a vest.
Yeah, that's right.
He saw that and he said, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it is. It does look exactly like yours, man. He was walking around with that. It was great, man. Great.
Yeah, he showed some pictures. He is just like a freaking lightning rod, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. So, yeah, it was good stuff, man. So that was our celebration recap. We'll be back with some regularly scheduled Star Wars discussion next month, but we just want to give you guys an idea, both my perspective and Chris's perspective, on how Celebration was for us. And don't be afraid to let us know what your thoughts were as well, if you had any different or similar experiences as we had. So, Chris, where can they find us?
A new email address, classicstarwars1977@gmail.com. That's our new email address that we're using. You can also go to SarlaccPitPodcast.com, and you can leave us a voicemail. So if you want to tell us about your experiences at the convention or just any one of our episodes, if you want to comment on the trailer or anything else that we've talked about, feel free to leave us a message and we'll play it on the air. And, of course, also Sarlacc Pit Podcast on Facebook page. And Classic Star Wars on Facebook is our main page. And then Twitter, at Sarlacc Pit Cast, and then at Classic Star Wars.
Yes, don't be afraid to let us know any of your thoughts and feelings, especially, like I said, we got that trailer that came out. So, hey, what do you guys think of it? Any theories, let us know. We'd love to talk about it. So with that, for Chris and for Mark, my name is Matt. Thank you for joining us and making us part of your Star Wars day. We will see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.